DISA is on the move. You may have known that already. We have been telling you about the Defense Information Systems Agency's relocation from Northern Virginia to some new facilities in Fort Meade, Maryland. DISA recently completed phase one of relocation with a ceremony. DISA Director Army Lieutenant General Carol Paulette received the key to the agency's new facilities. Jack Pinkoski is the Director of Manpower, Personnel, and Security at DISA, joining us now live with more information on this move. Mr. Pinkoski, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me this morning.
Okay, this is the first phase of construction. What's in it? Who's it going to house? Give us a little bit of information.
Well, the entire campus that we're putting together up there will have nine separate structures. So that first phase that you referred to was two of the admin buildings that have a lot of the personnel. It has the parking garage in it, the utility plant, and things like that. The second phase, which will be done in November, will have the our lab. So our test and evaluation function. And then the final phase will be, the final admin building, which again will have a lot of the personnel, and it'll have the common services, in that, the cafeteria, our conference center, our wellness center, and things like that. So, everything is moving, ahead. The first actual move of our employees into the new facilities, will start in January. And then we have an aggressive schedule, to move individuals, actually every weekend. We'll be moving about 150 to 200 employees from January through the end of next July until we get everybody into all the facilities.
Are you on schedule, ahead of schedule? Where are you on your timeline?
We are on schedule, and I'm knocking on wood as a as I say that everything looks very well. All the IT infrastructure is being put into the buildings. All the contracts are in place, so. We're very confident that we're going to be able to meet that schedule to have everybody in by the end of next July.
Yeah, because there are a lot of balls to keep in the air here, a lot of different moving parts. How are you able to coordinate all those logistics and keep it on schedule?
It's a good question. We've had a lot of intensive planning that has gone on, and this is I think it's a military term, but we've had what we've called rock drills, and rock stands for rehearsal of concepts. We've actually gone down to the level of detail of planning all the different areas, and down to the level of detail of planning exactly when each individual will move, what equipment they'll have to have, all the logistics associated with moving of secret and classified information. So we've had several in addition to all the ongoing planning, rehearsal of concept drills to go down to that level of detail to make sure we're not missing anything in the planning process. It's quite an ordeal.
And that does add a layer of complexity to it. Some of your stuff is really super top secret stuff. I mean, it's not like you're just moving a random lab or some offices or some chairs, although all that's being moved too. Some of your stuff really can't be seen by outside eyes.
That's exactly right. So, there's a lot, additional, level of detail that has to go into that to make sure that, there are always eyes on that material as it's being moved. As the, the vehicles are going, there are escorts, that go with that, that information. And then when it gets on the other end, it's, it's never out of sight either as it's, being put in. So, yeah, that does add an additional level of complexity. But we have that built in. And we even, although, the first real moves into the building start in January, we already have our new security force, in place up at the building at Fort Meade.
What are some of the challenges that you encountered that you hadn't expected?
I think probably the level of complexity of coordinating everything as far as, the IT infrastructure and the interdependencies, with the lab and the test and the evaluation and all those technical aspects. It's, there's so many interdependencies between them. So, you have to be careful that, organizations don't work that in a stovepipe. So we found that early on. I think the first time we had one of those, rehearsal of concept, drills, we found out that we did have some gaps. We found out that, maybe there needed to be a little bit more coordination and interdependencies. And we had the first one of those, back in April, and it allowed us to address those early on and, make sure everything stayed on track.
So then would this be the first move of this type for DISA, for your agency?
Yes. Yeah, and it's a, you know, of course a large number, as you said, you know, it's 4,300 employees that'll be moving up there. So it's it represents a huge move, even though it's only, you know, 26 miles. You know, the logistics, the coordination, and then of course making sure all the employees, you know, are being taken care of and have everything that they need.
Actually, that was my very next question. Kudos to you for anticipating what I was going to ask, because it is only 26 miles, but there may be some people who are not 100% in love with the idea. How do you work with them and bring them on board, bring everybody on board?
The biggest thing first, I think, has been, you know, communication. You know, I think we've over-communicated with the workforce to make sure that they know what's happening, you know, when they're going to be impacted, and then giving them a lot of different options. So, you know, we're offering, you know, the PCS entitlement to our employees, so that, you know, if they're willing to and interested in moving up to the Fort Meade area, you know, DISA, you know, is going to take care of the, you know, the PCS for them. So they have that option. For the individuals, and this is probably, you know, the number one concern of the workforce, if they aren't able, at least now, you know, to relocate up there, looking at it, you know, as many different transportation options as we can. So we have entered into a partnership with called the BWI Partnership Group to offer, you know, the guaranteed ride home, and you know, looking at offering as many different options for the workforce. If we have enough from, you know, one location, you know, having charter buses that'll go up there. If there's not enough for a charter bus, offering, you know, putting together van pools for them. And if there's not enough for a van pool, you know, having car pools. So that's one of our big focuses right now, is, you know, getting everybody signed up for the different options from the different locations, you know, so that you know, they'll have these transportation options.
We're talking with Jack Pinkosky, the Director of Manpower, Personnel, and Security at the Defense Information Systems Agency. And just for members of our audience who don't know, what do you mean when you say PCS entitlement?
That's the permanent change of station. So, you know, where the government actually pays for the real estate expenses, you know, the real estate commission, the shipment of the household goods, and then, you know, the real estate fees on the gaining end. So, you know, taking a, you know, care of a significant portion, doesn't buy their house, you know, under that special program, but it basically takes care of all their other, you know, real estate transactions, you know, in association with the move.
Takes a little of the sting out.
Very much so, yes.
Now, as others go through this process, because you're not alone in this, that should give you some comfort. Do you have any advice on logistics, how to pull this off, some best practices to share with others?
To me, number one, of course, it, you know, as I said, it's, you know, it's the intense planning up front, you know, to really check and see, you know, where you need the, you know, the interdependencies, because it's not just one area that's, you know, responsible for doing that. And then I think the other thing is, you know, really putting together a huge communication plan, you know, to make sure that your workforce knows what's doing. And then the other thing is, you know, making sure that you look at every possible thing to help take care of your workforce. You know, there may be some things that are going to help everybody impacted, and there may be some other things that will, you know, only impact favorably a small portion, but put those into place. You know, do everything you can to help the workforce. You know, one of our most recent examples of that is we are going to, around the 1st of December, open the first classified telework center. I think in the federal government, it's in the Woodbridge area, which is, you know, where we have a, you know, a good portion of our workforce that's the farthest away, you know, from Fort Meade. And so we felt a need to do that. It won't impact a huge portion of the population, but those are the kinds of examples of things I think you have to do. You know, look at everything you can, to help, you know, the workforce and the organization, and then put them in place.